Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Let's Talk Jets Radio.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Let's Talk Jets Radio. Let me bring on Primetime because I'm in a terrible storm right now. I don't know if you can even hear me or not.
Yeah, you sound good, man.
Don't go pulling a Tyrone.
Say you're in a bad area. No coverage.
No, dude, it is monsooning, like downpours and hail and all kinds of shit here.
That hit me like 2 hours ago.
Dude, it's crazy. So, at Talk Jets Radio, Instagram and Twitter. Let's Talk Jets Radio on YouTube. We appreciate all the support. Not a lot of news, but tonight we have some things to talk about. We got minicamp coming up in another week or so. So, Primetime, how are you first and foremost?
Doing good, man. It's nice to actually hear some news coming out of OTAs, you know, to kind of pick us up from the Knicks disaster. So, you know, I know it's, you know, some players that haven't been on the field, some of our better players, which, you know, I'm sure we'll get to. But, you know, having Zach Wilson out there throwing bombs to Elijah Moore, certainly nothing wrong hearing news about that.
Yeah, no. So, I mean, like you said, you get bits and pieces. You know, obviously you got to keep it all and saying it's very early. They're not in pads. They're only in shorts. They're not, you know, no contact, all this stuff. But there's a lot of interesting stories that are slowly developing, and it's tough to talk about a lot of them because right now everybody's all happy, all positive, and want to say everything is great, there's no concerns, all that stuff. So what we'll do is we'll start with the positives. And the number one positive, obviously, is Zach Wilson, who is impressing everybody with his arm strength, his quick release, also his ability to change speeds, not always, you know, like throwing fastballs. He's got a changeup. He knows how to, like, to fit in small little windows. Dude, I mean, and the other thing I like the most, dude, he's, like, always around his teammates. He's always hanging out. He's trying to build camaraderie. It's, you know, for early on, June 8th, dude, it's all positive. It's pretty damn exciting, to be honest with you.
Yeah, man, looking good so far. I know it's early. I know it's only, you know, shorts and everything, no pads. But, you know, they got him rolling out, you know, some nice touch passes. You're seeing reports about some good deep balls, you know, getting on the same page with his young wideouts, putting in the extra work. He wants to be there. He wants to learn, wants to get better. That's everything you ask for in your young quarterback. So right now, you know, he's checking all the boxes.
Yeah, and also you're starting to learn some things, too, about LaFleur's offense where they're saying, you know, today he's a little bit more aggressive and they're spreading it out and they're getting the ball in the playmakers quicker. And, you know, it's just right now it's such a refreshing change from Gase. I think any little note like that's making us all happy because we're so tired of, like, all the horse shit we dealt with last year. So the quarterback's exciting, you know. According to several reports, I talked to a person too. James Morgan's just not that good.
I'm going to get to that.
Yeah, it's just, you know, I mean, I don't know really what we're doing. I guess they want to give him all the reps they can now to kind of
I was just going to say, I guess you could say the same thing could apply, you know, that we talked about with the cornerback position where you wanted to let the young guys kind of get their reps early on, see what you have. Now you got through OTAs, you saw what you have. Now go sign a veteran backup. You know, don't waste any more time. Go get that backup in here.
Yeah, you can't. I mean, it's just – and then, we'll get to that, the whole draft class later on. But that's – the backup quarterback position, I think, is it's a cute story now, but you got to get a veteran. Let's not even play any games there. But what's becoming very fascinating to me is the wide receiver position and Jamison Crowder. So Jamison Crowder is not in attendance because, obviously – yeah, so they're talking about contracts. You know, well, actually – and they were very – you know, Sala talked about that last week. And now it gets interesting because, to me, you know, listen, I like Jamison Crowder, veteran guy, good route runner, all this stuff. He's not an $11 million a year player. He's just not. So their Jets are probably telling him, listen, man, you got to take a pay cut. And what's going to make their case even more interesting is you got Berrios, you got Elijah Moore, and you got Keelan Cole, too. And Elijah Moore, according to every report, is tearing it up, which is like, hey, you know what, Jamison Crowder? Either you take a cut or we're not going to need you here.
Yeah, and I'm surprised that I'm kind of shifting a little bit more towards the center on this because, you know, a few weeks ago when you asked me, I would have said, no way, you keep Crowder at least until the start of training camp. Make sure, you know, you get through camp, everybody's healthy, Elijah Moore's the real deal. You know, maybe Berrios or somebody emerges and then you could do something. But right now, I mean, that money, you could put that towards Morgan Moses. You could put that towards your backup quarterback. You could put that towards a corner, which we definitely need. So you still have a lot of needs on this team. So if you feel like Elijah Moore is ready to go, like he's your day one slot guy and he's already, you know, developing some chemistry with Zach Wilson, maybe it is better to put that money elsewhere. Like, I'm not going to give you a hot take one way or another on this. I could certainly see either side bringing Crowder to camp. You know, he was your best wideout last year. He was your only healthy wideout for a majority of the year. So I could certainly see the value in bringing him in, but, you know, if it's going to hold back Elijah Moore from getting reps in the slot, or if you do feel like, you know, Berrios should be on the field or Keelan Cole could play there, you know, maybe you do put that money elsewhere.
Yeah, I mean, to me, it's I think the Jets have a price in mind, and they're like, listen, like you know, you have, like I said, Cole and Berrios and Elijah Moore all playing well, you could say, listen, we don't need $11 million. Like, that money can be spent elsewhere. It's just not, it's not good value, dude. And that's not even an indictment on Crowder. It's an indictment on the market that was out there. Like, right now, if Jamison Crowder was cut today by the Jets, what would he get on the open market?
$7-8 million.
$5 million a year? $5-6 million?
I think 7-8.
Think so?
I think so. The only concern with him is really, you know, just staying on the field for a full season. When he's out there, I mean, he's always been productive with Washington and with us.
Yeah, so that's interesting to see what the Jets do there. I mean, he's got none of his money is guaranteed.
The thing also, though, is, you know, Corey Davis isn't on the field either right now. And you had Mims last year who was, you know, struggling to stay on the field. So, you know, I know Crowder ideally is in the slot, but he could also play on the outside. So is it important to have that veteran in there, you know, to go, like, for the whole season? I mean, you know, just in case somebody goes down, you have some backups, some insurance. I mean, I don't know.
It's interesting, man. Yeah, it's like, so Davis is banged up. And then Mims is not the exact start that you want from him again, because it's just like, you know, he, according to, again, this is the reports, we're not in practice, I'm only reading things, you're kind of digging around a little bit, you know, he's you know, he's been banged up, he's had some drops, and it's like, dude, like, we're all kind of waiting for, like, this, like, we're all kind of seeing a breakout season from Mims this year, aren't we?
I mean, I thought so. You know, when we saw him on the field last year, I thought, you know, he had some flashes out there, but the biggest thing was, you know, can he be on the field consistently? The same thing that we talk about with Mekhi Becton, which I'm sure we'll get to in a minute. You know, Mims has a lot to prove. You know, I know a lot of people are very high on him. I am too. I think he's got all the measurables. He's got the talent. He can, you know, test you vertically. He's a physical receiver. I think he'll help you run blocking as well, but he's got to be on the field, and that's the biggest issue with, you know, a lot of these players that we've brought in over the last number of years.
Yeah, so that's, like, you know, definitely a story we're going to watch is the competition at wide receiver, what happens with Mims, what happens to Crowder, make sure they're all healthy going into camp. You'll get Corey Davis in the mix. You know, then you have, like, you know, like all these other guys where it's like, you know, Cager and all these guys that we were all kind of high on last year, they're all, like, fighting for, like, what, the sixth spot? I mean, there's a tremendous amount of pressure to make the roster now with all the depth we have.
Yeah, between, you know, Berrios and Lawrence Cager, Vincent Smith, Jeff Smith, you got a lot of depth that are, you know, fighting just to hang on to a roster spot at this point. So that's a good problem to have. Not good for Lawrence Cager not being on the field early on, but, you know, especially after the injuries last year. But, again, it's good that you have all that depth.
Yeah, so that's the wide receiver position. You know, obviously the running back position is super exciting. I mean, they have just a wealth of backs where they can do pretty much whatever they want, a lot of flexibility, especially in this offense where you can feature whoever you want. So that's super cool. Where it gets interesting prime time is the offensive line.
You don't need a running back one, though, according to Rich Cimini? You don't need a running back one?
Whatever. Well, you know what's so funny is that, you know, there was, you know what, all the positivity coming out of Florham Park today, you know why that is? Because he wasn't there. It was finally some of all this good news. Like, it was just because Cimini's probably, he probably took a day off or something.
Yeah, Cimini wasn't there. Manish hasn't been there in months. So only good news coming out.
Yeah, and then, like, some of the articles, I'm like, dude, how – that article today was so lazy, dude. Like, come on, man.
I know.
So, you go – running back is not really a big story. I mean, yeah, obviously, Carter's catching a lot of headlines, but you kind of really got to see them more in, you know, when there's more contact drills and you see them kind of, like, bouncing off tackles, you know, making cutbacks, stuff like that. But to me, the offensive line is very, very interesting. You don't really hear much about Cameron Clark, which is, you know, all right. But – Becton, Mekhi Becton, our left tackle, our prized possession, the guy that everybody loves, fan favorite, everything else. Primetime, this is a minor concern right now at this point with the plantar fasciitis and the weight issues, especially after an injury-riddled season last year and this notion even coming out of college.
I'm going to go ahead and say it's slightly more than just a minor concern. I'm not going to say it's a major concern. I'm not going to sit here overreacting to it. I know it's only OTAs and they're just trying to, you know, hold him back, you know, keep it, you know, cautious and no reason to push him. But the fact that he has another, you know, minor nagging injury on top of everything that went wrong last year with, you know, all the week-to-week injuries between the shoulder, the ankle, everything else, it's a concern. You know, at his size, at 6'7", 375, it has to be a concern, especially at left tackle. You can't have your left tackle constantly, you know, shuffling in and out. And then, you know, the talk about who's going to replace him if he goes down, that's all the more reason why we have to bring in a veteran like Morgan Moses. You know, he's got the connection to Salah. I think that makes sense. There's no way I want to move, you know, George Fant over. I saw some comments, you know, on the YouTube video I did about maybe moving Vera Tucker over. He's got the versatility to do it. But again, why play games and shuffle around two spots if you have one guy go down? So I just think left tackle is too important. We saw what DeBrickashaw was able to do over, you know, his 10-11-year career. He was on the field pretty much every single game, missed one snap. You know, that's what we need from Becton. That position is too important, especially, you know, in Zach Wilson's rookie year. He's got to be out there. And if he's not, you got to have a solid plan B.
Yeah, I mean, to me, the Morgan Moses thing started to make a lot more sense. I was kind of like, all right, you know, what's the price tag? I'm like, you know what? This is a very good insurance policy. It's depth. It's a good, you know, he's a good player, starter. And, you know, I'm, you know, it's, you don't like, it's June, so I don't want to start getting the whole panic thing, but there's some red flags, man. Like, these are some of the things you start worrying about a little bit, especially out of size. And especially when, you know, Coach Salah starts hinting where this kid's got to take better care of himself. Like, we have, mm-hmm. you know, a state-of-the-art facility. We brought in this high-tech nutrition and sports nutrition, all this shit. He's got to follow it. He's got to get with the program here. Because, dude, a guy that size, man, you got to maintain your weight. You know, that's, you know,
I'm very curious to see what his playing weight's going to be coming into training camp this year. Yeah, I think that's going to tell a lot as far as what he did this offseason, what their plan was for him, if they, you know, switched up his nutritional plan, tried to, you know, have him cut some weight a little bit. You know, I think it'll be very telling if he comes in at, you know, like 375, 380 like he was last year, or if he's down a little bit to, you know, 355, 360, which, you know, I hope he can get down to.
Yeah, it's interesting, man. That's of all the guys we kind of want to have like our one, like, you know, like our – not like our – not like safety blanket, but like the one guy who's like, all right, he's like our foundation. Like the one guy you kind of like, all right, he's all set there. We can worry about everybody else. And now it's a little bit interesting with him, man.
I don't want to bring any negativity because this was a pretty positive day. A lot of, you know, good talk coming out of OTAs, but, you know, slowly that draft, man, between all the mid-round picks that weren't even on the field last year, we're already talking, you know, about getting rid of Morgan. We don't know if P. Ryan's going to stick. You know, hopefully Cameron Clark shows up. We don't know about him. I think Bryce Hall could be, you know, the one savior from that draft class as far as the later rounds go. But if Mims and Becton aren't on the field, that entire draft class is looking pretty suspect.
Well, the other thing, too, is that if you dig around a little bit, you know, they're very, very high on LaMarcus Joyner. Love the way he plays. You know, Marcus May obviously has the whole franchise tag deal going on, but – you know, not a lot of talk about Ashton Davis either. And that's the guy where, you know, when they talked to the defensive coordinator, he raved about him, like, love his speed, love his lack of athletic ability, all this stuff. But listen, man, that entire draft class last year, for the most part, they showed glimpses, which we kind of overblown because we were so excited to see anything. For a lot of them, they lost a significant amount of time. And now it's like, all right, you have, NFL offseason. You've got to show us what you're made of here, because if the whole build through the draft mantra is your mantra and these guys can't stay on the field or they're not playing, it's going to be an enormous problem. So these guys have a lot to prove once you get into, you know, mini camp and training camp, you know, because this is where, you know, we didn't really sign a lot of, you know, big players. It was all 1 year contracts, all this, assuming that your draft picks are going to, you know, kind of backfill in and be your depth.
Yeah, no, I think this, you know, the entire draft class from last year has a ton of pressure on them, you know. Even some of the undrafted guys that you brought in between last year and this year, you know, if some of those guys can emerge or some of your picks from this year, if they emerge early on, you know, maybe that gives you some leeway on some guys that didn't work out last year. But there's still a lot of pressure. Like you said, if you're trying to build through the draft, you need guys to actually hit on those mid to late rounds. And that's one of the things that we've talked about with, you know, how many of the past regimes that, you know, we were always top heavy, you know, we'd hit in the early rounds, but we wouldn't find anything beyond, like, you know, round two through seven, actually. We had how many years where we didn't hit any picks in round two? And then, you know, beyond that, what did we really hit in, you know, over the last decade or two? So, you know, it's been a struggle. And, you know, hopefully Joe Douglas can start to turn that around. This class in particular, I think, could be a good starting point. But last year, I still have a lot of questions about.
Well, you know, and it's funny because, you know, like I go back and watch all the press conferences, but mostly from the coordinators. I'm fascinated to see what they have to say. So when they talk about pass rushers, he mentioned Bryce Huff over Zuniga. Just like, here we go. Like, but I mean, the Jets have a ton of them. So, you know, I guess the guys that are banged up, listen, you have a chance. It's going to be competition all over the place. You're going to earn your spot under Coach Salah. Apparently, he's all about, you know, you good.
Between Huff, Franklin Myers, and Kyle Phillips, there's a good chance that Zuniga could potentially get cut. You know, I don't know if you can keep all those guys. You also got Gerard Davis on the outside. I mean, you got a lot of competition out there. Nobody that's really
– athletes, man.
Yeah. Nobody that's guaranteed to make the roster, I don't think.
No, I mean, there's going to be a lot of very interesting training camp battles. I mean, the defensive line, I mean, they got a ton of quarters, the safety position. I mean, there's in the wide receivers, running backs. I mean, there's a lot of – I mean, I don't think it's a lot of game-breaking talent. It's a lot of, like, solid talent.
Yeah, especially on the D-line, too. I mean, you got some battles there after you brought in Rankins, you know, Shepard and Foley. Are they both going to make it? You also have the –
Vinny Curry.
Seventh round, that kid Marshall. Yeah, so forgot Vinny Curry also. Yeah.
No, it's going to be interesting, man. I can't wait. Like, I'm at a point now where it's like, I can't wait to, like – you know, like, mini camp's kind of cool, but I can't wait for training camp, dude. Like, I'm ready just to see, like, get, like, the live action and get it all turned up. And but, you know, it's like there's a lot of positivity from the Jets. Their public relations, like, their marketing team is doing great with their social media accounts. Woody Johnson, they're really doing a really good job building it up. It's cool to see them being out in public, going to the Islander games, going to Net games, going to Knick games. Like, there's a lot of really good things going on with the Jets right now, man. It's like you just hope that they all stay healthy, they all stay out of trouble, just kind of keep your head in the books. Like, even C.J. Mosley seems to be like a presence and like a leader in the locker room, kind of rallying the guys there too, which is cool. So it's just you try to keep, you know, I guess right now it's the most thing is just keep these guys all healthy, especially like guys like Davis and Becton.
Yeah, and again, just hope it translates on the field. You know, you like that all these players are coming together, they're at games, and I think the coaching staff in particular this year is going to get, you know, guys to buy in. We've talked how many times over the past number of weeks about, you know, last year I think there was a sense very early on, you know, especially after trading Jamal and then Mosley opted out right after that, I think a lot of players showed up at camp feeling like, you know, this was a throwaway year, that, you know, the organization wasn't really intent on trying to win, especially when they had some money, they didn't really spend it. You know, I don't think anybody was really motivated to go play for Gase. And now you have a guy in Salah that, you know, is a player's coach. A lot of players talk about, you know, wanting to run through a brick wall for him. And if that's the kind of culture that you're going to establish, you know, this is a fun time. And, you know, hopefully we see some strides, just like the Knicks.
Yeah. And, you know, the one thing that, if I'm being completely honest, is I'm a little surprised that Carl Lawson's not here. Obviously, I guess apparently he sends, like, a video every day to the coaching staff showing his workouts and asking questions.
Didn't
they
do that?
Like, yeah, yeah. but it's like we're at that point now where it's like nobody wants to question anything or say anything. He's like, oh, he sends videos in, he sends that. And I'm like, wow, man, like this team just gave you a pretty big contract. You're like the big, like the star addition on the defense. Like, you know, like obviously he'll be here next week for minicamp and stuff. But I'm just like, man, like you would think he'd just pop in and like show his face a little bit and stuff. But apparently not.
You'd think, but it's not.
So we covered all that. Is there anything that you noticed primetime that you want to bring up?
The only thing I was going to mention was, you know, I saw the Jets did their post the other day commemorating the anniversary of the Joe Douglas hire. So now that it's been 2 years, you know, how would you evaluate him so far as the successes, the failures? I know a lot of it, you know, is still to be determined. But as far as, you know, kind of ridding the team of, you know, the past, you know, 5 or 6 years of bad picks and everything else, getting a fresh start. And having some cap space to work with, you know, how would you evaluate the past 2 years?
That's a great question, man. I mean, that's a good question. That's a really good question. I think he got, I mean, if you look at what he dealt with, like the Jamal Adams thing, I mean, looking back at it now, he got great value for Jamal Adams. There's that. He mishandled Robbie Anderson.
You know,
the Leonard Williams thing. I mean, I think at the time we all thought it was a good move. I mean, I think, you know, even the Sam Darnold, he got more value for Sam Darnold than I thought he would have got. He was pragmatic about that. You know, he kind of identified his guy in Zach Wilson. You know, like, the off season, I think, I mean, the hiring of Salah, dude, to me, is a big feather in his cap because I didn't think he'd go down that path. We all thought he'd go for a guy he was familiar with. He went outside the box. He got a guy that I didn't think he would be able to hire. You got to give him credit for that. The draft, I really don't know. Like we just talked about, there's a lot of unknowns in last year's class. This year's class, you know, after the third, fourth round, it's a lot of like hybrid athletes that you hope fit in the system. In terms of free agency, you know, Corey Davis, good job. Carl Lawson, like, I like that. He didn't really – he seems like he's very strict with his contracts. He's very strict with his cap space. He's very smart with his cap space in terms of, like, the contract and having money rolling over and, you know, how – you know, managing the cap very well, like, they do good with that. I don't know, man. I think a lot of it's going to be, like, I guess – what's going to fall on what? Salah, Wilson, and the offensive line. I guess that's probably how he'll be judged, right?
Yeah. I mean, those are his major moves, so that's absolutely how he's going to be judged. I mean, just to kind of piggyback off of what you said, you know, going outside the box with Salah, I think that's probably number one. And then building through the draft in particular, highlighting the offense with, you know, the first, what was it, three picks this year, and then the first, the first four picks this year, first two picks last year. So, you know, I like that it's been an offensive first approach to the draft, which is, you know, certainly a lot different from what we've seen. But yeah, I still think there's plenty of questions about him. I think a lot of the praise that he gets comes from his reputation still. And I still think as far as substance, you know, as far as players performing on the field, there's still plenty of questions, and I totally get it. You know, the first year was pretty much, you know, all of the moves that McKagan made. Last year, you can point blame a number of different ways, Adam Gase, Darnold, whoever you want to blame. I think Douglas does share, you know, some of that blame. Like you mentioned, mishandling Robbie Anderson, not really investing in the offensive line or receivers all that much. But yeah, I still think there's some other concerns as well, as far as, you know, some players, as far as the way their medicals were concerned, but hopefully they fixed up all that. But like you said, I think it comes down to Salah. It comes down to Wilson. Did they get the quarterback situation right? And if they did, I think that sets them up pretty well over the next few years.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's interesting, dude. It's really interesting. That's a really good question, how, like, we can really, you know, assess him at this point. Because it's not really – it's hard. It's really hard because, like, you want to believe in a lot of things. I think he's done a very good job with the media. I think they've done, you know, they've done some pretty good things there. It's interesting. Probably time you got me thinking here, man. That's a really good freaking question. It's been 2 full years he's been here?
Yeah, 2 full years. Although, again, the first year he really didn't have much to work with. I mean, his only major move was Khalil, and everything else that offseason was McKagan.
Yeah, that's an interesting one, man.
The one thing I'll give him some credit for, because I was pretty hard on him last offseason. When McKagan came in, his approach was, you know, spend the money early on, and then after year two, they had to do the rebuild and tear it all down. Whereas Joe Douglas came in, he kind of kept the money, you know, in his pocket, and now after his first year, they hit rock bottom already. He gets his quarterback, his new quarterback on a rookie contract. He had all these draft picks to work with from trading Jamal Adams. So he wasn't really concerned with winning early on. He recognized that, you know, he was dealt a shit hand, and so he wasn't looking for the quick fix at all. And so, you know, I think he survived that early storm. Now he just needs, you know, some of these draft picks to actually get on the field and perform.
Yeah, that's a damn good question, man. I got to be thinking about that, because you think about this is like last year, like I said, a lot of it, you're right, a lot of it's going to probably be blamed on Gase and all this, and he inherited this, and even the pick of Morgan, like, oh, this is Gase wanted him. Like, you can find ways to justify, but this year it's like, he's really going to be held accountable for all of the draft picks, obviously. And then now he's, like, more in charge of personnel, so he gets more responsibility.
This year, though, I think he's going to get a pass on a lot of things, because it's a rookie quarterback, new coach, new defense. You know, I think they're still in the early stages of this rebuild. I mean, they were the second worst team in football last year. So, you know, you could say that there's a lot of untapped potential on this roster. But, you know, do we really know what we have? You know, across the board, I mean, maybe wide receiver. You know, we're pretty confident that we have some wideouts that we can depend on. You know, I think the left side of our offensive line, if they're on the field, looks pretty good. Hopefully Mosley, Quinnen Williams on defense we could depend on. Marcus May you could throw in there as well. But other than that, I mean, you have plenty of questions. And so you're hoping that the coaching staff can, you know, get the most out of these guys. But, I mean, as far as, you know, proven talent, we don't have too much. So when you're trying to build through the draft, you know, you got to get through that early storm. And I think he survived that. And now this year, hopefully, you know, we start to see some of those strides.
Well, see, and this year he may not get a pass in one perspective, and that's the offensive line, man. Now, say, like, we all kind of bought into his approach, but you got Vera Tucker, but he kind of doubled down on all the guys he already had in place. You know, he's keeping Alex Lewis, he's keeping McGovern, he's keeping Fant, you know, Van Roten's still here, all these guys are still here, kind of saying, you know, and he didn't go out and sign the big names that we all wanted, right? So right now we're all kind of buying in, saying, listen, maybe these guys are a good fit for the, you know, fit for LaFleur's offense, maybe this, maybe that. Maybe they were just so poorly coached last year that, you know, Gase didn't know what the fuck he was doing, but this staff does. That's what we're kind of hoping, right? Because if that's not the case, and this offensive line does start to melt and all this shit starts flying, but like, listen, man, you had all this cap space. You had all these opportunities. Well, we just talked about Morgan Moses 10 minutes ago. You have all these opportunities to upgrade this line. You didn't do it because you believed in these guys and you were wrong. That's going to be an indictment on him, dude. So, you know, that's – I don't think –
he
won't get a pass.
Yeah, I still think he'll be able to point blame, though. You know, rookie quarterback, new system and everything. You know, guys trying to, you know, get some chemistry, learning a new offense and everything. But also, you know, he'll hang his hat on the fact that, you know, he's building this thing for the long term. And he went back-to-back offensive linemen in the first round each of the last 2 years. So as long as Becton's on the field doing what he did last year and just straight-up mauling dudes, and Vera Tucker, you know, gives you somewhat of the same this year, he'll point to that and say, you know, I just rebuilt the entire left side of our offensive line, you know, within 2 years. So, you know, I got our franchise quarterback. He's going to be protected. Now I'm just, you know, trying to find weapons, build a defense, and work around that. So, you know, building through the trenches, I think, is something that, you know, those Jets teams in the, you know, the 2000s that were in the playoffs almost every other year when they were healthy, they always had a great offensive line. You know, Curtis Martin, you know, he was always running behind, you know, Mawai and all those dudes, you know, with the toss plays and what was it, the jet sweeps and everything else that they did with that
jet
offense.
Jet sweep,
so, you know, yeah, so. I don't know. I think once you have that offensive line, everything else kind of starts to fall into place. So,
yeah, no, it's interesting to see how it is. So we got a couple people on hold here. So how should we do this prime time? Should we just go right to it and not screen them?
Yeah, fuck it. Why not? We can go wrong.
All right. So up next is 917974.
What's going
How's
on,
it going,
guys?
Man?
Elias, how you guys doing?
What's up, Elias?
What's up, dude?
Yo, I was bumming you guys in stream last night. Tyson, I had my broom ready and everything.
Oh, yeah. We're gonna start this shit already, man. Seriously.
How much longer is Aaron Boone going to make it?
Oh, wow.
He'll be there for
Bunch
a while. He's the puppet.
No, dude, if they don't play well in Minnesota the next three games, he's going to be fucking fired. He'll be out of there. It's bad, man. They can't run the fucking bases, man. They can't run the bases. They don't know what the hell they're doing. They're not hitting. They're not doing anything. Like, they're like lifeless zombies. Like, they think they could just hold off. Well, wait another month. We'll turn it back on again. It's like, it's just shitty baseball. And to be honest with you, the way the Yankees are playing now reminded me of the way the Knicks used to be. Like, they're not even watchable, dude. Like, it's not even fun to watch them. Like, they don't care. Like, it's just shit baseball.
Easy, like, they're making easy mistakes, basically.
But they don't care. They're not being held accountable. Like, you can fuck them. And the thing that pisses me off the most is that I hate when Aaron Boone justifies mistakes or just keeps covering for his guys. Like, dude, you're doing blatantly stupid fucking shit. Like, call him out on it. Blast him for it. Like, raise some hell. Like, you know, kick him in the ass a little bit. You know, like, between Sanchez and all this other shit, it's terrible. And then he's like, oh, well, you know, this and that. He justifies everything. It's like, come on, man.
Yeah, man.
Thanks for that. Thanks for pissing me off. See, I was in a good mood.
No, I got you.
And let's hear, talk about your first place, Matt. Well, you're better off. Have you done any more podcasts?
Yeah, I did a couple episodes, went well, had a couple people call in, had a good time with that. So, yeah, I'm waiting for you guys to call in.
Well, the primetime said he was coming on.
Well, I'm done with baseball now, so I can finally call in.
Right on. Tomorrow around 6:30-ish.
Hey, sounds good. I should be able to call into that. Wait, why 6:30? The game doesn't start till 7. You doing like a pregame show?
Yeah. So we talk a bit about the game before. We talk about all sorts of stuff.
6:30.
Yeah, I want to do it before the game.
So Lee asks, what are your thoughts on the Jets, man? There's a lot of positivity coming out of Florham Park. What are your thoughts? I mean, I guess I'll go with the tough question first. What are your thoughts about the wide receivers now in this whole Crowder contract situation?
Yeah, so I'm big in favor of keeping Crowder. I think at a physically demanding position like wide receiver, you see so many injuries all the time. I think Crowder's probably going to be probably the four on this team, which is he worth $10 million? No. But to me, it's just a one-year contract, unless you desperately need to sign someone else. If you want to sign a Moses or a Sherman or someone else, then you can cut him. I don't think you're trading him for anything, really. But I'd be in favor of keeping him. He's a good, you know, he gets open underneath. He's a good security blanket for a young, you know, Darnold had good chemistry with him. Hopefully Wilson can do the same. So, I mean, you know, you understand why he's hasn't been there. Obviously, most of the camp so far has been voluntary, but he's obviously wanting, you know, some stability. I mean, he's getting up there. He's somewhat injury prone, and, you know, he doesn't have much security. So I understand it from his perspective. I think he'll come back eventually. You know, holdouts aren't as common anymore with all the fining and all the stuff that can happen then. But, yeah, I definitely want to keep him. Elijah Moore, I'm really excited about just having, like, a legit burner on this team, especially with Wilson, who just bombs the ball deep. He's got an elite arm. And the guy I'm really intrigued about is Keelan Cole, because, like, they're just OTAs, but a lot of the reports I see coming out, it's like, oh, Wilson connects to Keelan Cole on this pass, and I saw a clip earlier, and I'm like, oh, who's that guy at 88? And it's Keelan Cole. So, he'll probably be the four or the five on this team, which, I mean, I was listening to a show the other day, and this guy was talking about, which I agree with him 100%, having five legitimate starters is, like, I'd rather have that over, like, the number one bona fide stud. Like, a lot of fans are, you know, bummed we didn't get Julio Jones. Like, I'd rather have, Julio Jones is awesome, but I'd rather have the bona fide five. I think those guys are, you know, the five men. So Davis, Mims, Moore, Crowder, and Cole, I think they're all going to make the roster, and they'll probably carry out seven receivers. So I'm curious to see what the other guys are. As the Mets are getting their asses kicked, great. It's probably going to be Berrios and probably Jeff Smith, if I had to guess. I all of a sudden there's all this hype for Lawrence Cager on Twitter. I don't get it. I mean, the dude's a stiff, runs super round routes and can't stay on the field. People were overhyping him when, you know, we signed him last year. Oh, steal of the season, you know, undrafted guy, absolute steal. I feel like people are doing that with Yeboah a bit. Like, I like Yeboah, but a lot of people are saying, oh, make him the starter right away, stuff like that. Like, let's pump the brakes there. So, you know, I'm curious to see who's going to make it, you know, in those other probably two spots. And it's good that guys like, you know, Vincent Smith and Jeff Smith, they're locks coming into training camp. This time they actually have to compete for it.
So is there anything that you think you could see out of Moore or Berrios or Keelan Cole that could actually make you want to move on from Crowder and put that money elsewhere, or are you bringing him to the team no matter what, just for depth purposes?
I'd be open if Berrios is playing really well. Obviously, I'd rather have see Moore get the playing time, but, like, you can have multiple smaller guys on the field. I mean, the Chiefs do it, so, you know, you can use them in all sorts of different packages. It really just depends to me if you're going to – why you need to free up that money if you want to go get another guy. If you don't and you just want money to roll over into next year, I'd rather just have for your young quarterback. I mean, like I said, physically demanding position, injuries happen. You're going to be seeing Crowder next year. And, you know, even if without injuries, you know, there's going to be some packages that you want to see him in. But, you know, he's a good veteran too. He can help, you know, coach up Moore and Berrios and some of the younger guys too. So, you know – there are circumstances I would consider moving on from him, but I like Crowder. I'd like to hold on to him.
Now, what's your level of concern with the with the news about Mekhi Becton battling the plantar fasciitis? Is that a major concern for you, or just OTAs and it's all precautionary?
Yeah, it sucks to see. It's pretty minor for me. Now, for me, I think some fans are overreacting a bit on the long-term effect. I think long-term he's going to be fine. The dude's like 22. I think that what tells us is that he could use a bit of weight loss. He could cut down a few pounds, and that was definitely the concern coming in when he got drafted. It's like, is he going to be able to maintain this playing weight? And, you know, being so heavy on, you know, on your feet like that. And, you know, people act like he was so injured last year, which he had a couple little knickknacks there. It didn't help, you know, Gase playing him through the injury in that Denver game. That was completely inexcusable. I think he had 14 starts, or 13 starts and played in 14 games, something like that. So am I worried a bit right now? A little bit. I think it doesn't hurt to have insurance. I don't like the idea of moving Vera Tucker out to left tackle if Becton's out. I'd rather just have him learn his position as a rookie, not have to worry about moving around. Moses is intriguing, but is he going to want to be a reserve, you know, a depth guy slash, you know, compete for a spot? Is he going to want to be a starter off the bat? Are you going to move – George Fant to right guard if he can play there. It's interesting, but, you know, it's just voluntary OTAs. We'll see what's going on with the effect, and I think he'll be fine. But, you know, it's a little concerning. It's definitely not good to see.
No, Elias, this is actually a pretty good call, man. I'm impressed.
Appreciate it, man.
Do you have any final takes before we let you go?
Yeah, I've been really impressed with Zach Wilson in camp. I know it's just camp, but there's legitimate zip on the ball. And, like, yeah, obviously they're wearing shorts and stuff, but his release, man, it's something special. Like, he gets rid of the ball quick. He doesn't have to load up like a lot of other guys do. I couldn't be more excited about him. And it's weird having this optimism for the Jets. And, like seeing Saleh going out to these playoff games and whatnot, which is also cool having, you know, playoff teams around the city. You know, imagine if Gase did that. I mean, the dude, like, would probably get booed. He'd probably say he didn't go because he was, like, locked in his room studying film or some crap like that. So it's good to see a coach who actually, like, players want to care. I mean, we have, like, 80 players show up. Like, it's a good time to be a fan. Yeah, all this optimism and stuff, it's great. And, you know, it's probably not going to go, you know, as good as we hope it's going to go this year. But I'm just excited, man.
No, dude, listen, I think it's great, too. Like, I'm super excited as well. But you want to see, you know, Zach Wilson under fire, though, when he starts getting banged up a little bit and blitzed, and how does he react under pressure and, you know, all these different things and different schemes and exotic blitzes and everything else. So, but I'm excited too, man. It's a lot of new energy, a lot, you know, whole new coaching staff. Seems like a lot of intelligence, a lot of creativity. So we'll see what happens, man. Thanks for calling in. We appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. You guys have a good night.
You too.
You too, man.
And that was Elias, who is our music director. We have a music director. He makes our intro song. And when he plays a concert, we're going to go to it. So that's always exciting. We will bring on Mr. Afram. What's up, man?
Gentlemen, how are you?
What's up?
Long time no talk.
Long time, yeah. You know, I really want to just say, where did this legend thing come out for you? You know, legend of Twitter, right? I keep reading on the Twitter.
Dude, I don't know where the hell that came from. I was like, what?
Twitter icon.
It wasn't me,
Twitter,
man.
He's the legend. He's the legend. So now, you know,
I never said that.
I'm just blessed to be a part of this show, man. Blessed to be here.
Here we go.
You still in the monsoon over there? I had it coming from Connecticut today, and I was going good until I hit the Tappan Zee, and oh my God, it was hell getting home. Actually, I was behind this one person. I had plenty of room, but she was like stopping, slowing down. I had to slow down. You know, she see a car, and then we get to the light. I'm making a left. She throws me the bird. She flips me the bird because, you know, pretty tough when it's pouring down that someone's going to come out of their car and say, what the hell are you doing? But why are you giving me the bird? I'm just, you know, you're the one that keeps slowing down. I'm just trying to, you know, give you as much room as possible. It's amazing what people do. But, it's good to hear all this positivity with the Jets and I'm waiting to really see what they do when it comes down to training camp. I do think by then they'd have to get a backup quarterback by that time. I don't think they can wait that long to see who's left, who gets cut or anything to that effect. I haven't read or heard of any major cuts lately on any of these teams since June 1st. I think maybe still early, but. We'll see. I think more comes after mini camp or even closer to when training camp starts. As far as Crowder, you cut him now, you only lose, you know, you only get hit by $1 million. You get $10 million back. That's a good chunk of change. And I look at it as you're building a young team. Is he going to be with us next year?
Nope.
Probably not. So if you cut him now, you're still building. You know, are you anticipating making a run to reach the playoffs? Is he the difference maker? I think they want to keep him, but like you said, not at $10 million. So, you know.
So what's your offer to him then?
What is he now, 28, 29?
Yep.
Is he looking for a multi-year deal?
No, I don't think he's looking for a multi-year deal. I think they're looking to do a pay cut. They're probably saying, listen, man, we don't think you're worth this. So what do you offer him six? Do you offer him seven? Like, what's your number to keep him here this year?
Yeah, I wouldn't go past six. Six and a half, maybe. I wouldn't go past that. I mean, you need to, considering all the weapons that you got, you really, you know, it's not like he's the only weapon they have at this point, you know. There's other options, different system. You could see in the little clips that they put on Twitter, but you read about all the positive. You see these guys working hard. They're playing hard. It's a whole different atmosphere. And when you guys were talking about Douglas, I think the biggest thing he's done was build a culture, starting with the coach and getting character people in. I think it starts there. I think right now it's hard to judge him, but I think I don't think he has an excuse if the for the O-line, even if it was a rookie quarterback, you held on to these guys. If these guys that played last year end up playing the same, doing the same mistakes, not gelling, then those were bad choices. That's my opinion. I can't blame the rookie quarterback. You know, you got good coaching staff now, supposedly. The entire staff has been you know, good things being heard about every guy that they put together. So I don't think he doesn't get a bye on the offensive line. Of course, you get a bye on a rookie quarterback, but, you know, you're building, like you said, long term. So it's hard. You got a whole new system. I would say just right now it's incomplete with Douglas right now as far as the majority of the issues of the team. But when it comes to the O-line, if it's, you know, you got multiple players that you've had from last year playing this year, if they're still playing, you know, McGovern's going to be your center. You got to see who he's putting in on right guard. Elias's take on Moses is, I don't think that he's going to want to come in and be a backup. And who knows what kind of money he wants anyway. So,
the news coming out on Becton?
I'm waiting. Plantar fasciitis is a common thing, I think. And I've been doing a little research. I don't think he's ever had a foot injury in college like this. And he's been playing with that weight. Came out at 364. That's what they had him last time, I think. So, and I'll wait to see. I mean, I've got to put some trust into this new program with the trainers, everything, to see how they want to treat it. So let's put a little, you know, trust them for a little bit. If it becomes a nagging injury and he doesn't do something about his weight, then I'll be concerned, because if with everything that he's being offered as far as a nutritionist, these doctors, if he can't keep his weight down, then there's got to be, you know, this concern there. But, you know, we have to wait and see. You know, my son had planters. And, you know, I can't get that word out. I'm sorry. You know, it's painful, but, you know, you got to give it rest. That's the bottom line. So, you know, let's see how that happens, you know, and this is voluntary. These practices, why, you know, he's not a rookie. So let him rest. Let's see how let's see when he comes back. I would assume maybe, towards the end of mini camp, or maybe they'll just let him rest until training camp. You notice that they're playing, they're giving a lot of reps to these rookies that they drafted. So let's wait till training camp. Let's see what kind of team they put together. Let's see who's going to compete. There's a lot of names being thrown out there. It's exciting. It really is exciting. It's just something we haven't, you know, been able to say in God knows how long, you know. We got a bunch of players, a lot of players we were able to draft. undrafted. There's just a lot of competition. So let's see who comes out ahead. You know, cream rises to the top. So let's see what happens and see how this head coach and his staff can build this team up and how they play. But, you know, you love hearing the takes on Wilson. You know, he doesn't look like a rookie. It's coming out, and he comes out, he looks bad maybe a little bit, and then the next day he's sharp as can be. I saw that he threw a pass right into the hands. I forget who it was. I think it was Cole between two defenders, and it was a perfect pass. Everyone was in awe about it. So it's good signs to see. So, you know, I'm hoping for the best. I'm watching the Yankees lose to Zip. They look horrible.
That's not too much better.
I don't know what's going on. Yeah, but they're in first place, so it's, you know, and they have some legitimate excuses, and they're still in first place. You know, they showed a clip. Who was it? Who got thrown out? Was it another game? I didn't know. He had something on his neck that he was going to, and they threw him out. They were showing
really?
Some clip. I don't know if it was. Yeah, I don't know if it was a pass game or something. I think it was Herman or somebody.
The Mets.
The Yankees. It was an older game,
okay.
I guess.
That's not surprising.
Yeah. Are you an Islander fan? Prime time.
What was that?
Well, you're a Ranger fan. You're a Ranger fan, right?
Oh yeah, of course.
Yeah, but I'm rooting just for this series with the Islanders because I just can't stand Boston. Yesterday was a great game to watch them. They were trying to come back every time, and then Islanders came back and scored on them. You know, I can't stand Marchand, so that's my biggest issue. I'm surprised to this day no one's taken a shot at him, a real hard shot. They let him pull that stuff. If this was back in the 80s, his head would have been through the glass. You know, there were more goons back then. But let's go back to the Jets. You know, like you said, there's not much going on, but it's all positivity. And I know that it's, you know, you're always getting, you always hear a lot of positive things, but you're not hearing any negative. You always get somebody to say, you know, this happened, that we should be concerned, but it's all positive. And let's hope it stays that way. We start off good. I think with August, I saw the schedule on Twitter. It was second week in August, I think, is the first preseason game.
Yeah, I think it's something. Yeah, they came out. They play the Packers in Lambeau. I want to go to that. I'll go to a preseason game in Lambeau. I don't give a shit.
Yeah, no, that's 14th. I was talking to my son. I wanted to take him down to the Panthers game, but unfortunately that's a Sunday, and by the time, you know, we wanted to drive down there, stay hotel and drive back, but he has class. He starts, you know, his classes start already, and he has class that Monday early, and I wouldn't be able to make it back in time with him, but it would have been nice to go. And all right, listen, these are the obstacles, you know, that you have to do. I could take off a day, but, you know, his school comes first, you know what I'm saying? But that would have been a good game to go to. You're planning on going, right?
I mean, we got to go see prime time favorite player. I mean, how can we not go to that game?
Oh,
I meant Zach Wilson. I wasn't talking about Sandor.
Exactly.
I was talking about Zach Wilson.
Yeah, I'm going to see Zach.
Hey, listen, there's no reason why you can't root for Darnold also. Not in that game, but...
Yeah. After week one, I'll be a Sam fan.
There's nothing wrong with that. You know, it's not like he was a bad play. You know, a bad person. It just didn't work out here. So,
thanks for calling, man. We appreciate it.
Yeah. All right, man. Be good. I'll talk to you soon. Maybe next Monday you guys get on. I'm sure you had issues yesterday. So be good and take care.
You too.
Okay. Have a good night, man.
Yeah, we definitely had to do some more live streams. My schedule has been absolutely fucking ridiculous, man. It's just, and I have a curveball problem for the Carolina trip now. You ready for this shit?
No. You pull Tyrone now?
No, I'm not pulling a Tyrone, but I train. I have I help coach the amateur kickboxing team at Knicks. Like that's it's like when I run, I help run the team and like all these guys, I train all of them, all that. We have a fight card September 11th, the day before the fucking game.
Come on.
I'm like, oh, so I'm like, all right. I'm like, there's a card on September 11th or November 6th. I'm like, you guys all want to be in the November 6th card, right? Like you, nobody wants to be on that card. Like, who wants to cut weight in the summer, right? But I don't think I'm going to be that lucky. So I may have to, you know, help corner these guys and, like, leave, like take, like, a red-eye flight or leave, like, fly out, like, Saturday night or some shit. I'm like, what are the chances of that, man? Dude, so right now it's like, we got to see, like, how many guys sign up. Can we get them opponents? Well, you know, will we get to that point? But I'm like, what are the fucking chances? It's like there's like three different things on that weekend that I want to do. It's like that, like Guns N' Roses is here, like Shinedown's playing on the Friday. It's like three different things all in the same weekend. I'm like, what are the chances? It's ridiculous.
Now I got to find a wingman for Saturday night in Carolina.
Well, let's see. We're having a team meeting Thursday night to talk about it more, to get like see who's going to do what. But I'm like, son of a bitch. So we'll see what happens there. So now we will bring on Mr. Jose. What's up, man?
What's up?
Yo, French show.
What up? Can you believe we're on with a legend?
Oh, here we go. I didn't write that shit, man. For people that don't know.
I'm blessed to be on the show. I'm happy to be here, happy to be a part of it, that I get to talk to Tyson Roush, the legend, twice a week.
Jesus
Christ. During the season, three or four times a week, we get to do a show together.
This is some bullshit.
I'm honored.
Check Twitter.
Listen, man, I saw that. Now Jose's talking shit now. Was he talking shit? Oh, my God. What is he writing here? This is some nonsense. We're not worthy, but this is some nonsense. I didn't say this shit, man. This is what they said. I just...
I've been holding this in since yesterday.
And it's funny, the minute they sent that out, I'm like, oh, fuck. I'm like, you jerk. This is exactly what's going to happen.
They did not know what was going to happen.
No, they didn't. I'm like, God help us. And this is why I don't go on other shows. This is why I try to avoid all of this shit. And this is what happens.
Exactly. Speaking of dumping, Prime time.
Yes, sir.
How are your Mets getting their ass kicked by the Orioles?
No pitching tonight, that's why. And
because Lindor is overrated.
He had a bad first month. He's been coming on since. He's going to be fine. I'm not worried about Lindor.
He's overrated.
He's a shortstop on a first-place baseball team. I am not concerned.
On the NL East, the worst.
You got to beat who you play. How many years did the Yankees get first place, beating up on the Orioles and the Rays when they were shit? Don't give me that.
They still have the Red Sox.
It's true.
Yeah, we still got the Phillies. Phillies are good. Braves are
pretty
good.
The Phillies are good.
Start this year.
They have a good lineup. Like I said,
they have a good lineup.
Tyson, I'm not going to go near the Yankees because I actually like the Yankees. So, yeah.
Wait, how are you an Angels fan that likes the Yankees? That doesn't make any sense. They beat you guys like 2 years in a row in the postseason, didn't they?
My priest is a Yankees fan. We went over this.
I don't remember that. I was probably drunk during that show.
We're always drunk. Hey, Where's the Waffle Man?
Tyrone's traveling tonight. He's in a bad coverage area, so he's like he he's not happy. He's not happy with his payments lately. So now he's making me in primetime work harder.
Hey,
I'm still waiting for his YouTube appearance.
Yes.
I got my diss track ready. I got it ready.
The diss track.
Oh shit.
So Jose, I got a question for you.
Yes.
I got a rap question for you.
Yeah.
So. I'm a fan of all types of music. I'm open-minded. I listen to everything.
Yes.
Have you ever heard of Nova Rockefeller?
Yes.
What are your thoughts on her rapping?
Not the best, not the worst.
Okay. What are your thoughts on Tom McDonald?
I honestly don't know who that is.
You don't know who Tom McDonald is?
I know he's independent, but besides that, no.
Come on, man. Even, I mean.
I'll be honest, before you, I didn't know who he was either.
Exactly. Thank you. Thank you.
I
got to
give you guys culture, man. Got to give you guys culture.
Hey, at least I watched. Funny story. Saturday, I actually watched like 5 minutes of Titanic with my sister.
You only need to watch 5 minutes, the ending, which we all know how it happens, which is why I've never decided to sit down and waste 3.5 hours watching the whole thing. I know how it ends.
Yeah, whatever.
But the part I didn't know is that Rose murders Jack. That's the only part I didn't know.
Can we talk about Morgan Moses? For a minute, can
go ahead.
Absolutely.
Can we talk football? I would bring him in, put in a Georgetown's position, move France to guard, and then if God forbid, Mekhi Becton gets hurt, put him at Becton's spot because France can play anywhere on the all line except. I know because he.
That's interesting, but again, are you going to pay Fant $9 million to be your right guard?
I would get rid of Crowder. Now that Braxton Bale actually has a good quarterback to throw in the ball.
He did have a good quarterback. He just didn't have a head coach or an offensive one.
Don't
start
that
this again.
That was a good quarterback.
Here we go.
To be determined. To be determined. I'll leave it there.
We're back on this shit.
Well, Chris Sims. Chris Sims. Wait, hold on. Chris Sims ranked him as the 19th best quarterback in football. So
I'm so glad you brought that up and not me, because the guy that we all used to tout Zach Wilson now has Sam Darnold really high. I'm just glad that you brought that up.
Jesus Christ. I swear. I quit. Swear, Chris Sims is on coke.
Wait,
he was crazy. Jets were taking Zach Wilson a month ago.
Yep.
Best quarterback analyst out there. They were going to all his previous rankings. Look, he always nails it.
Yep.
I
loved him a month ago. Don't give me that shit.
Time's out. I'm the one guy that didn't want to take Zach Wilson. Go
that is
back
true.
To the team.
I will give you that. No, I remember.
Thank you. Thank you.
That just means your take sucked then, Jose. That's all that means.
thank you. Hey.
Welcome to my world.
I got a better hitting percentage than Aaron Judge. That's all I know.
Okay. Thanks for calling in, man. We appreciate it.
All right. Good talking to you.
Have a good night.
Good stuff.
Talk to you Monday.
Have a good night.
Yes, we will be back Monday night doing our live streams. We took a little break. Schedule's been ridiculous. I don't know when I'm actually sleeping at this point, but I mean, primetime, the Mets are doing well. They're winning with smoke and mirrors, and the Yankees just aren't winning at all. So this is just an interesting baseball time. But I'll tell you what, I'm not an Islanders fan either. But, dude, that game, the last 5 minutes of last night was insane, dude. It was just like breathtaking hockey where you're like, you know, you're watching their lead diminish, and it's just like playoff hockey is just wild to watch, man. It's just nerve-wracking. Yeah.
No, I think the Islanders have a legitimate chance. If they get through Boston, you know, whether it's actually Montreal already won. They swept Winnipeg. So I think Montreal is definitely beatable. And, if, you know, as long as they get to the Cup, you know, anything can happen there. So I think Colorado is definitely the team to beat, though. That offense they got is just ridiculous.
And then you have an insane UFC card on Saturday night. I mean, that card is stacked.
Oh,
I mean,
Adesanya and Vittori one?
Yeah, yeah, and then you have the Moreno and Figueiredo rematch, and then you have Nate Diaz and Leon Edwards, and then you got like six great fights on that card, man.
Nice.
I can't wait. Yeah, of course. That's a big money one for them. So,
what were your thoughts on the Mayweather and Logan Paul fight? We didn't touch on that.
Give me a fucking break with that nonsense shit. What a joke that was. I mean, Mayweather basically admitted that he was he guided him through it. Like, he could have put him away, dude. He didn't want to. He's like, holding and this and what?
You really think he could have knocked him out?
Yes. He could have finished him, dude. He could have very easily finished him.
It seemed like even when he landed flush, like, Paul was just eating it. Like, again, I don't give him credit as a boxer at all. I mean, I thought he was smart to an extent, like using his weight on him and trying to play the game, hugging him and shit. But I don't know. I thought he ate some good punches.
Yeah, I mean, the
Mayweather
fucking weight difference
could knock out a kid like that, who also had, what, 40 pounds on him?
Yeah, but it's not knockout power. It's just you can land a flurry of body punches and shit like that. You put a guy down with that. You'll body, head, and just drop him. When you're not used to that kind of, like, just that kind of – he even admitted to it. Paul even admitted to it. He's like, I'm not used to getting hit in the body that much. And, like, and Mayweather wasn't even doing that much. He could have did a lot more. Like, he was kind of, like, let him tire himself out, like, let him punch himself out, get him tired. Then he started clinching. It was like, I think Mayweather could have – he could have did more, a lot more if he wanted to. He was just kind of, listen, you want to be entertained. You want to go the full whatever it was, eight rounds. That's what we're going to do. And, you know, like – the next one with fighting Tyron Woodley is a little bit more interesting because at least Tyron Woodley has, you know, some, you know, fighting experience. He has, like, some boxing in him. He's got knockout power. At least he's a legitimate fighter, you know. So that'll be a little bit more interesting, I guess. But I still want to see him fight, like, top-level strikers. Like, Tyron Woodley's not known to be a top-level striker. They're still kind of avoiding them at this point, but that's kind of the path they're taking.
No, I think that's smart, too. He'll make how many million on this fight, and he'll keep doing it as long as he keeps winning. And I'm sure he'll work his way up to a legitimate boxer eventually. But, you know, these are all money fights for him.
Yeah, I mean, it's celebrity boxing. Everybody's buying it or streaming it, and he's getting all – you know, they're on Showtime. They're getting all the hype around it, which is smart. So, you know, making a lot of money off it, dude. But it's just funny because you have, like, some of, like, more casual fans or YouTube fans that have no fucking idea about what – legitimate MMA striking is, what these guys really do. They only see this other bullshit like Ben Askren.
Like, what's the feeling right now, like, in the, like, the fight community? I've seen it, like, you know, a few fighters tweet, you know, about the money that these guys are bringing in, like, doing the celebrity shit, and other guys who have been working, you know, 15, 20 years their whole life just trying to make it, like, you know, they barely make shit. So, like, you know, how are guys taking that?
They're not. I mean, it's right now the problem people have is that, you know, everybody wants to fight in the UFC. That's, you know, supposed to be the gold standard of that. But you can get better money elsewhere. You can get better money in Bellator sometimes, depending on what level of fighter you are. You can get better money at 1FC. Like, you can get better money elsewhere. So it's a matter of, do you want to worry about your money or do you want to be in the name of the UFC? But the problem is that even, like, the big-name fighters, you know, you look at this, they're making, like, look at Mayweather made, what, $30 million in sponsorship on his shorts. I mean, that's crazy money, dude. Like, And they're like, you know, everybody's like, how are we, you know, MMA fighters doing all this shit, you know, and we're making up a tenth of that, not even. So it's always, you know, boxing always made a lot more than UFC did. That's just the way it was for whatever reason. And it's just fucked up, man. It really is. Like, it's just, I mean, obviously McGregor's in his whole class. He makes, like, crazy money, but not a lot of other guys do, man.
Do you think there's any level of that that could ever, like, kind of transfer over to UFC where they might, like, start doing some of that shit?
With,
like, more high-profile fights?
It's hard to fake. It's hard, like, Boxing's a little bit easy. I mean, boxing's not easy. Boxing is easier because you're only worried about punches. When you have to add in punches, kicks, elbows, knees, takedowns, chokes, wrestling, dude, it's a lot to train for, man. Like, it's not – you can't – like, some of these guys are taking, like, what, 10-week camp? All right, I'm going to box in 10 weeks. You can't do an MMA fight in 10 weeks. It's fucking impossible. Like, there's no way. Unless you have, like, legitimate, excellent wrestling background from, like, high school, college. Like, you need that to start. Or, I mean, it's just – it takes a long time, man. It really does. There's so much that goes into it. People don't realize, like, what goes into a fight camp for these guys. They're training 3-4 times a day, straight to conditioning, jiu-jitsu, wrestling, you know, boxing, kickboxing. Like, it's a lot, man.
I'm trying to think of, like, you know, Dana White, the businessman, watching, you know, all these events taking place, and they're just generating all this crazy revenue, and, like, how he might try to, you know, do something different to
capitalize. He already
did
it. He did it to Mayweather-McGregor.
Well, that was still a boxing match, though.
Yeah. Oh, but yeah. I mean, that was the big pay that the UFC made a lot of money on. But in terms of MMA, I just don't see it, dude. I don't know how you could. I mean, if anything, it could be like somebody from like Bellator. You know, they do some kind of like super fight or something like that, which I don't think so because they hate each other. I don't see how that could really happen, to be honest with you. I mean, I think other organizations are probably kicking around. Like, I think they'll be willing to do it, but Dana's pretty strict, man. He even blocked George St. Pierre from fighting what's his face, De La Hoya. You know what I mean? He has his contracts are strict as shit, man. But we'll see. I mean, it's interesting. It's just interesting to see all the hype it gets and everybody, like, and everybody's talking about it. So it's, you know, and
yeah,
I'll give the Paul brothers credit, dude.
Things,
dude, I give them credit, dude. They train hard. They're legitimate training. They're boxing, like they're sparring, like they're putting the work in. They ain't fucking around with it. It's just, they're not fighting guys that are, you know, Mayweather wasn't really trying. He's retired. That was basically a sparring session where he didn't really put, like, he just kind of helped them through it. You know, Ben Askren's not a fighter. Tyron Woodley's a guy.
Credit,
like,
going 8 rounds with the best ever when you're 0-1 as a boxer, I mean, you still got to give him credit for that.
I mean, it was sparring. It was like a sparring session. It wasn't like scored. It was no judging. I mean, I'll give him credit. Like, he was in there, but it's, you know, I'll give him more credit. I like to see them go with legit top-level strikers and see what happens. That's what I want to see, you know. It's easy to talk shit now to all these guys.
Mayweather clearly
won.
I'm not convinced that he could have knocked him out, though, or at least within the 8 rounds. I mean,
yeah. Well, I mean, let's see them fight. Let's see them fight. Like, Woodley's a good test. I like to see him fight somebody a lot better than these guys. Like, top level, legitimate guys that where their background is striking. That's what I want to see. Not wrestling, striking. Then we'll see. It's just, it's a game changer, man. You know.
Yeah,
but we'll see. I'm biased because, like, I know, you know, I have my side of it, but it's just, you see some of this shit and it's just ridiculous. So whatever. Chad Johnson had he had a nice big hook, then he got smoked though.
I always saw the replay. I didn't get to see that one live.
Yeah, he landed a big hook, but then he ate a big punch too, though, which that shit happens. So,
yep.
But prime time. It was good talking to you. Do you have any parting shots to our listeners?
No, just excited to hear some football news. Another week closer to camp, so appreciate all the support.
Yeah, at Talk Jets Radio, Instagram and Twitter. Let's Talk Jets Radio on YouTube. And we may have a new shirt announcement, too, so stay tuned for that. Working on something a little bit interesting for that. And we will talk to you guys next week.
Later.